Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Impact of Influence, the tragic story of a powerful South Carolina family and the mysterious deaths they are linked to.
Hello, friend. This episode is, we're cranking out in kind of real time as we read the tweets and the articles that are popping up. I am Matt Harris. Seton Tucker is here. Our legal analyst, John Snyder, joins us, former DA and former defense attorney as well. So, the news that is breaking as we were sitting in here recording the podcast is, Seton,
Alec Murdoch is expected to be indicted this week for the murders of Maggie and Paul.
His wife and son that occurred June 7th of last year. And it was on the Moselle property, which is about 1,700 acres, which is in Colleton County. And this has been going on 13 months now. There has been word from various agencies that SLED, South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, spoke to Maggie Murdoch's family and John Marvin, the younger brother of Alec, today out of courtesy.
That was reported by ABC News 4 and the Post and Courier that it was a courtesy and that he met with them for approximately 30 minutes.
Avery Wilkes from the Post and Courier tweeted that John Marvin told him, quote, "The entire family has been consistent that regardless of what goes on, we want the truth."
You know, when I spoke to John Marvin, that was the sentiment he gave to me as well, that they just want the truth. They want answers in the deaths of Maggie and Paul. So I believe he's definitely sincere in that sentiment.
Fitz News First with a story today, and now it is everywhere.
Yes, and Fitz reported that the grand jury is meeting on Thursday to go over these indictments.
Okay, John Snyder. First, we'll go to this. Grand jury, that's usually a secretive thing. Am I correct? And how long does a grand jury usually convene?
So a grand jury is called to hear all of the indictments that are being presented by the various law enforcement agencies in their district. And so what's happened here is a grand jury has been convened in Colleton County, and law enforcement is presenting evidence to them, asking them to return an indictment against Alec for the murders of his wife and son. And the way that works is it's non-sworn testimony, or excuse me, it's sworn testimony, but it is not an open proceeding. And law enforcement will come in and walk through the evidence to give to a jury of peers, citizens of the county, to decide whether or not he should be charged with murder.
And how quickly does that something like that turn around?
Usually it will happen within, you know, days or less than days or even hours. They come in and give an overview of the case. They give them the probable cause that they have to believe that an indictment is merited. The grand jury weighs the value of the evidence and the probable cause evidence that's presented, and they return a true bill, which is the indictment that will then be served on the defendant.
So we know no other suspects have been mentioned other than Alec. Eddie Smith was in jail. He was released last week. What do y'all think, that he was somehow singing, giving evidence against Alec? Because it seems coincidental that this is happening just the week after Eddie was arrested.
I think he finally was able to get a bail bondsman to post bail, first of all. And secondly, his testimony is going to be key in any case for a conviction in any of these criminal matters. If he was somehow knowledgeable about, you know, Alex's alleged activity. And so he will be a key witness. Obviously, he will have all kinds of, he'll get banged up pretty hard by defense lawyers, but it may have been that law enforcement wanted to see if what he was saying is true, and it turned out it was true. I mean, could be a number of possibilities. My belief throughout this process has been law enforcement has been of the utmost care in making sure they had a lock-tight case before they accused this known litigator of murder. And so whatever the evidence is that they have is going to be compelling and strong enough to get a conviction in their opinion.
And I think the ability to wait as long as they did to bring charges has a lot to do with the fact that Alec was already in prison, right? Because if they, let's say he wasn't in prison, and then he takes 13 months or whatever to bring charges, people are like, you let this guy walk around all this time? But when he's in jail, law enforcement may not be as rushed. Are we on board with that one, either of you?
No, I agree. I mean, especially if the basis of the allegations are he has millions of unearned dollars at his beck and call that are unaccounted for, there's no way to secure his presence for either interviews or investigations. My hope and my belief in law enforcement is they have worked this case, they have worked it well, and now that they are taking action, it is because they have what they need to get the results that they want to get. And in this case, it will be a conviction for murder.
Will the charges be murder based on what we're hearing? Do you think these charges are murder, or could they be accessory to murder? I mean, no one else was mentioned.
I don't know if it's being reported that they're going to be for murder. Even if it was accessory, he's still under some legal theories would have as much culpability as if he were charged with murder. You know, we've talked about RICO charges in the past. You also have, you know, your criminal conspiracy. So if he's part of the criminal conspiracy that resulted in a death, the law would view him as being guilty of murder.
Now,
even if you don't pull the trigger, doesn't mean you can't be convicted of murder.
Right. And the fact that the grand jury is in Colleton County, that when they always talk about a change of venue and all that sort of thing, that happens after indictments, right?
That would change after the indictment. Okay. You bring charges where the crime occurred, and that's again kind of an old law school, you know, first year law school exam, where somebody's, you know, at Carowinds on the state line, and they have 1 foot in North Carolina, 1 foot in South Carolina, you know, who and they shoot somebody. depending on where the body falls, yeah, that's who would have jurisdiction on the case.
Right.
So we do have a comment from Dick Harpootlian. He says that he has not received official word from anybody about anything. And Jim Griffith has declined to comment. And Jim has maintained Alec's innocence all along. So I guess maybe he's processing.
Well,
for Harpootlian to be at a loss for words says a lot, because that is not his reputation.
And it's, I mean, it's very possible that Alec was, I mean, I assume Alec's not confessing to those guys, right? I mean, it's very possible they believed him at some point, or at least early on, and they're also his defense attorney.
You know, the honest answer is it's not their job. You know, your job as the defense lawyer, it doesn't matter. They still have a job to do, and they don't want to say anything either way. But, you know, it doesn't, it's not looking too good for Alec. And you know, if the indictments come down for murder of his wife and his son, you know, good luck to him, because the jury, you know, a South Carolina jury is not going to treat that very kindly to him.
Right. Obviously, we feel terrible for the families. I mean, the Brandsetter family, who have lost a daughter and a grandson, and the Murdoch family, who have lost family members as well. And now they may have one of their family members implicated in the killing of two of their family members. It's just a terrible thing. And, you know, you hear and you see true crime shows where people kill their spouse, but you don't often see someone involved in the killing of their own child.
Because you can make a motive for Maggie. You can come up with a motive about she's about to tell everybody what a scumbag Alec is.
Or she's filing for divorce and they have financial problems, which are clear.
And they're supposed to have this testimony in the beach boating accident 2 days after that, where they have to start getting into financials. So you can come up with that. But what is a motive for killing Paul? That is where we'll have to see the disconnect, and why two guns. Remember, two guns.
Well, and two shooters. So
maybe
well,
two. We don't know.
Let me give you the old lawyer. Let's stop right there. Thing. Motive does not matter in a criminal case. Your rationale or reason for why you did the killing does not matter. And that's a common in TV. We're always talking about motive.
Motive and means
why
and all that.
You did it. What matters is that you did it. And that's what the evidence, like, the state does not have to prove why. And we certainly can understand based on, you know, all you know, domestic interactions across all news cycles and news stories about husbands and wives killing each other. But the good news for a prosecutor, they don't need to know what the motive was, because it could be senseless, i.e. Paul, where there's just nothing, you know, whatever the motive was devoid of any validity or yeah, there's no explanation for killing anybody.
Right.
And so the law does not require prosecutors to prove that.
Yeah, that was the lawyer you true jump. That is correct.
But the mom heartstrings of my heart thinking, oh my gosh, how could you kill your child?
Right. Or I mean, and I'm just thinking, even from as you talk it through, what would be and you the thing, the conclusion you come to in this early thing, as we start spitballing here, is that Maggie's the target, and then Paul is collateral damage in the sense that he's either not supposed to be there, he sees something he doesn't see, you know, something along those lines. And the second gun is because, you know, Alec has decided to, you know, maybe there's a time afterwards. Maybe he's put down the other gun, and now he sees Paul. Now he gets another gun. Those guns are laying around. It's a hunting cabin. There's guns everywhere.
Well, let me ask John this question. In your experience, if charges are brought against one person, and if there is another person involved, would you expect charges to be brought shortly?
Or at the same time?
Yes, very soon.
You would typically charge a co-defendant at the same time. You would not charge It wouldn't be remote charging unless they did not have some key piece of evidence. So if two people conspired to kill someone else, you wouldn't arrest one and then give somebody 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks to get out of the jurisdiction. You would probably bring those indictments at the same time.
Now, let me make up a crazy, crazy, wacky story.
Okay.
Let's say that let's say Alec has another guy with him who is a drug dude from one of the gangs or something. So they got Alec wrapped up in a nice little bow, but this drug, you know, gang member or whatever, they've been looking for months. They can't get him. Maybe he's back in whatever country that he came from or whatever. Is that possible that they go, okay, we can't wait any longer. We're getting Alec and then we can release to the public. We're looking for this dude. Is that something? I mean, it's a crazy kind of thing.
So you would indict them both at the same time and turn that indictment over to Interpol.
Oh, okay. Interpol, okay. You wouldn't need the guy.
Go after him. I worked on a case in Union County where the defendant in the murder was in Mexico. So the man who was a party to the murder was in Mexico. And so we had to work with Interpol in that matter to try to find him and bring him back.
Okay. So you indict him and then you can go get him. Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Hey, just a question about these charges. If the grand jury does indict Alec on these charges, will we as a public get information about the charges? Like, will we find out the rationale of why law enforcement is charging him?
No, and appropriately so, and I know all my sunshine lovers disagree with me on this, they should not be discussing details of the case at all, because you do not want to have an issue on appeal that you did not get a fair jury because you gave too much information out pre-trial. And so, my hope is that there's, you know, it'll spell out who did what at what time, but all of the tiny particulars will not and should not be released until at trial or at a guilty plea hearing.
So there won't be a press release and questions taken and that kind of thing, you don't think?
There may be to some degree, but not to the minutiae.
Okay.
You know, all the time that we've spent on this and many other people are spending it with in their own media outlets, we're not going to get a whole bunch of facts because you can't, you know, some of that stuff, you don't want to create pretrial prejudice because right. If an indictment comes, you know, the public will want a conviction and it needs to be obtained the right way. And so I'm 100% prosecutor on this point, which is these need to be handled properly. And, you know, all of the press releases to date have talked about the fact that federal law enforcement has been involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to make sure that whatever comes out meets the highest standards to get a conviction.
Well, and there have been a few leaks that have come out to the media. There was the impact spatter and the cell phone records of Alec's trip that evening from Moselle to his parents' house and back. So
with Chris Wilson, right? The attorney?
Chris Wilson, yes. So there's been some leaks that have come out about what potential evidence is being presented to the grand jury.
Yeah, well.
And more may come, but it won't be... And it won't be in the volumes of information that, you know, naturally curious people will want to know. And that doesn't mean it's because they don't have a case. It means because they're, you know, you play your cards at the card table, as Kenny Rogers would instruct you.
Yes.
And you're not going to lay it all out in public.
Right. I want to be clear. I wasn't defending Alec earlier when I was saying, well, maybe there was another person, but this is a two guns thing. That's what I keep going.
No, yeah. I'm just really curious.
I think the indictment could say murder of Maggie by, you know, a rifle, you know, some type of ballistic that came from a rifle. And it may say, you know, Paul's death was the result of a shotgun blast, you know, with buckshot. So some things that we've speculated on and we've heard will be confirmed through the indictment, but not huge amounts of details.
Okay, time frame, basically, you got the indictment, and then even though he's already in jail on a massive bond, they go have to redo that again, right?
They'll set a new bond, you know, and it depends on if he gets charged with murder in the first degree, if he gets charged with second degree, yeah. Depends on what he gets charged with and if they're seeking the death penalty. And then he'll either have no bond or a new bond in this case that'll be, you know, at the number that, you know, it's currently at that maybe we've argued about before. It'll be a super high number.
Well, I mean, when would that bond hearing, how quickly does that bond hearing take place after an indictment?
Immediately. I mean, okay. He'll be arrested and then processed for bond.
And if there's not a guilty plea, a trial on something like this, no guilty plea, we talking a year, we talking 6 months? What do you, I know it's hard to speculate, but.
I would expect in a jurisdiction of this size, I would expect 6 months to a year on the actual murder trial if there is not a guilty plea or some type of plea entered. All the evidence, you know, they've had a year and a half to gather all the evidence. So they'll be able to give it to the defense counsel in a nice package, and they'll, you know, the judge at the arraignment may set a trial. Yeah, he may set a schedule and say, all right, discovery's to be turned over by this point. You know, it'll move fast, as it should.
Okay, cool. John, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's awful news. It's awful to think about what those family members were thinking at the time. They were spending their last seconds on earth, and I have a lot of faith in the jury system of South Carolina to do the right thing.
Well, even though it's really sad, I'm sure it is also good for the family to have some sort of resolution.
If they can get the conviction, in which I have to think that, like John said, this case is probably pretty ironclad. Snyder, thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Okay, wait. I am seeing something from Fox News Carolina, where they are confirming that Alex Murdoch's attorney, Jim Griffith, has confirmed that the former Lowcountry attorney is expected to be indicted on murder charges later this week in the deaths of Maggie and Paul Murdoch.
If you want to reach out to us, Murdoch Podcast on Facebook, murdochpodcast.com, mattharrispodcast@gmail.com. We are always very, very grateful to you for listening, and very, very grateful to all the reporters in the area who are digging in and getting the information, and we will continue to give you what we know, and we will talk soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ohio is a land of mystery. From missing shipwrecks and lost treasure beneath her surface to strange phenomena slicing through her skies. From myths that have evolved around historic events and people to the unsolved murders and disappearances that keep her communities wondering what happened. Find Ohio Mysteries on your favorite podcast app, and let's explore the inexplicable. OhioMysteries.com.